like the help of the Lord to share a little thought with you. You know, I look at Monarch meeting as a very special opportunity. You can come to Monarch and see a lot of different things. There's quite a scene goes on here. A lot of things happen and a lot of events happen. About every year before Monarch, I'll say to my wife, what do you think the big thing will be this year? Seems like there's always a big thing at Monarch. And as you think back through the years, you'll probably remember the big things. Of one thing that happened, sometimes it's a very positive service. Sometimes it's a very negative event. Some things happen. But one is to realize that there's a big scene goes on and you can see what you want to see. I've had people, known of people that came to Monarch and went away saying, well, I'd say, what do you think of Monarch? It's too hot to go to Monarch. And I'm not going back. Is it hot? I've known people that would even say, what, was it hot? Most people would say, yeah, it was hot, but it wasn't over, it wasn't too hot to go. And so you have the ability today, if you understand what I'm saying, to see the whole scene, part of the scene, none of the scene, all the bad, all the good, none of it. What do you want to do? What do you want to see? I realize today that I can sit right over there on that bench and see nothing but bad things if that's what I do. I can sit right there and Brother Ivan sit right there and Brother Ivan be blessed and me be miserable. But a lot of this was in my own choice and my own desire, my own passion, what I'm after, what I'm wanting to do and see. I walked up through there a while ago and said, I hope there's not an indication of the whole meeting. It's hot already. That was early this morning. It's hot. Okay, it's hot. But I didn't come here because it was going to be cool.
That's right.
I knew it was hot when it was headed this way. Or it could be hot. Yeah, thank the Lord for the breeze. And if the Lord sends rain, thank the Lord. But a big scene happens here and it's up to you and I.
That's right.
Of what we really want. And I want to ask you today, because this is a part of a burden I've had for a long time. How well do you know yourself? Because isn't it really the reason we come to these kind of places? How well do you know yourself? Because what we come to these kind of places for is for the Lord who knows us to reveal to us through His Word who we really are. And if you come there to this meeting with this idea that I'm going to come to do business with God for my soul, I realize that I can look around and say, okay, I know who you got. I know how you are. Well, we're humans and we think all kind of things and you can see that too. But you can also sit and say, no, Lord, for this one, forget all the rest of it. Lord, you help me. You help me to know who I am in this great opportunity of Monarch 2012. Help me to understand more than ever who I am and how better I can live my life for you. Because the truth of it is that's what's laid into my charge. God will be God to you and I. He will not stop being God. I heard the brother testify about having God in a box. And I thought, yeah, that's right. But honestly, God's not in your box. But you can put Him in a box for your own life. But He's not really in your box. But you can put Him down to He's only what you've allowed Him to be. In a little bit of a box. And I haven't allowed Him to be God to me in all these other areas. But guess what? I don't know it. Most of the time, I can't write it down or tell it or articulate it or say anything. It's just that I've got it narrowed down. And it comes out in the fruit of my life. It comes out in the way I live life. But I can't tell you where it. And so I say today, what an opportunity.
to be able to have God deal with my soul.
That's right.
And if we would take this being the first meeting of this Monarch series of meetings, if we was to come with this mind and say, Lord, deal with me.
Amen.
In every service.
Amen.
Lord, deal with me in my life, about my life.
Yeah.
In this service. Lord, help me to funnel myself down and deal with Almighty a while. Maybe you're not like me, but I recognize I need a lot of help from the Lord. And the further I go, the more I realize how much help of the God I need in my life. So Lord, help me be able to sit there and take of God what God wants me to have. I'd like to start with Scripture in Genesis. The fourth chapter of Genesis. Why did Cain kill Abel? I wonder if you could have asked Cain. Cain, why did you kill Abel? I wonder if he could have really told you why he done it. What was the basis? What was the reason? What got him? He killed him. Cain killed his brother. How much worse can you get? This is not somebody that was an enemy, a distracted from him in some way. Most scholars say, by the wording that we're going to read here, that it not only was a brother, but a twin brother. The wording suggests that he was twins. Because she conceived, and it never said she conceived again, it said she bare again. So most people in the wording of that assume that Cain was the first of twins. Twins are generally closer even than just brothers. Twins have something together that most people don't have together. Jacob and Esau were twins. They weren't identical twins. I think identical would even be closer. But you're very possibly could have been the first twins, the first people born of a woman, two of them, Cain and Abel. You can't get no closer as humans than these two were. And yet, he got to the place that he killed his brother. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I wondered about these things, maybe you have too, how they knew to do that. But it's obvious that this was by revelation somewhere. Because we don't have that as humans, especially fallen humans. So somewhere along the line, either probably, my mind is probably of Adam, God had instilled in him a part of the process that brought him back. You know God loves us. Do you know that God's the separation of Adam and Eve from God did not make God not love them? Those things does not change God. That is a basis of our faith today that God loves us, is it not? God loves us, and therefore He's very concerned about us today. Any lacks that we have of getting a hold of what He asks for our life is our lacks and not His. Because God loves us, He loved Adam and Eve, and He began to deal with them and work with them. Somewhere in the lines, they begin to understand that there was a need in their life that they needed to do and have a relationship with God, and there was a process in which God would accept that, and there was an offering system made. And Cain, in the process of time, what time? In the process of growing up. They were born as children, the first ones ever in the world, born as children and raised and grew up. Two brothers born and raised up. Wonder if they ever played together. Now, not embarrassing my sister, but I got a lot of memories of my sister. We fought some, we played some.
whatever it was, she's my sister. You know what I'm saying? I got thoughts of her that I don't have of anybody else because that's my sister. We've done so much together. We was close in age. We played together. I remember when our older siblings, we all went out and picked some raspberry or some strawberries, and they was bigger than we were, so they climbed up in a tree and set up and eat the strawberries, and we wasn't big enough to climb the tree, so they were sitting up in the limbs eating the strawberries, so we wasn't able to climb up there. I've got memories of chasing rabbits and petting puppies, and that's my sister. That's my sister. We played together. Cain and Abel done that too, with all the natural affections and all that happened. They grew up together, did they not? You think it was any different for them? I doubt it. Cain and Abel, two of a kind, running around, frolicking, playing. But you know something happened somewhere in the process of time? Folks, it happens in our process of time too. I'm not a little boy running through strawberry fields anymore. I don't have the same innocency. If I'm not careful, I can let something in here that makes me have something against her. I can have something in here about me that starts destroying something that I had with her. In the process of time, things work. Life happens. Things happen. You don't get over it. You don't deal with it right. Abel threw a rock, possibly in innocency, that hit him in the head. Who knows? Maybe it happened. And maybe he thought, you've done it on purpose. You tried to hurt me. Who knows of those things? But there's things that life brings to us that if we don't deal correctly about who we are and what they are to us, it begins to build something in our lives. That's why we're desperate for God to help us, because what are you going to do after they're built and you're so right that you can't do anything but be right? I know I'm right. I know the way I've lived my life, and I've come to decisions, and now here's my decisions, and I won't change my decisions because I've learned and life has taught me, and now I know. There's one problem with that. Without God's interjection into that, it can be all so wrong. Also wrong. Of everything that I've built my life on is wrong. And now I say to a meeting like this, Lord, please have mercy on me and help me to see me. Because my life has created something with me, and I'm somebody now. And I have feelings and thoughts and all these things about me. Two brothers. You know what that says to me? You couldn't have got it no closer than there was to prove this point. Abel was the first real success in Scriptures. The writer of Hebrews told us he was. Because by faith, Abel offered a more righteous sacrifice, a more acceptable one. He died early. He didn't live long. But he was a success because of faith. So it tells me that, to prove this point, two of so close of who they were together, wasn't much difference in them. How much difference can you get? See, I'm the product of Cecil and Irma Clevenger. Irma was a Cougar. And so she was the product of a Schrader. So I'm a product of a lot of people. Adam and Eve. And Cain and Abel. How much closer can you get than they were? And one was righteous and one wasn't. One followed the ways of the Lord and one didn't. One had a desire to do it right, the other one didn't. Right there, so closely put together, says to me that if I'm not very careful, we can blame it on everything else out there, but the line between me being a murderer, thief, whatever else you can think of, lustful person, covetous, envious, is a fine line between that and having the favor of God on me. It says in this that in the process of time, they grew up to be men. Now you make your own decisions and you do whatever you wanted. Possibly before the process of time, Abel done it for him. Or Adam done it for him. And taught him a process and the way. Possibly. But now in the process of time, Cain's a man. And he does what a man does. He does it his way. He does it by his own choice.
So in the process of time, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Folks, Lord help us. Don't shoot the messenger. He ain't after you. Don't blame God. Thank Him. Be glad for the reproof. Be glad for the instruction. Come willingly. Come hopeful for it. Come desiring it. Come desiring it. Lord, if there be anything in my life, reveal it. Show it out. Let me see it. Let me see it before others see it. Let me see it before it does damage, before it hurts everybody. Lord, help me. Show me. Reveal this thing. And the Lord come along and says, of your offering, Cain, I don't respect it. I don't know how that was done. The scripture doesn't say. There was a lot of things that God purposely left out of these scriptures. I don't know. How did God approve or disapprove of those offerings? No one knows. But possibly, when He approved of Elijah's, He brought down fire and consumed it. Possibly the Lord was pleased with His offering and burned it up. And Cain's laid there untouched. God didn't want it. Why? What's wrong with the offering? Abel's was accepted, according to the Scripture, because of faith. I have to assume that Cain's was denied because of a lack of it. He didn't have faith. He didn't offer of his own heart. He didn't offer and he didn't need. And there's a great suggestion here that Abel, in his humility, recognized the sinful place that he was in and acknowledged it through his offerings. God, I need you so bad. I'm just a sinner and I can be lost easy. And I can be wrong easy. And Cain had no such faith. No such place. But did God hate Cain? What did God do about Cain? He gave him the ultimate opportunity to know and to understand. Wouldn't it have been awful of God to went ahead and burn his offering up, but in the last say, I never did accept you, and you know you wasn't. No, he didn't burn it. He didn't accept the offering. Thank God that he didn't take the offering. It wasn't acceptable. There's things about our life sometimes that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. You want to hide from it. You want to run from it. You don't want it to be not of that. Thank God if the Lord says it's not acceptable. Wouldn't it be a great blessing to us if there's things to us that the Lord would say to us, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. We come to pray and we can't get healing. We can't get help and we're praying and we're looking nowhere there. Isn't it a wonderful thing to stop sometime and say, Lord, why isn't it acceptable? Because He wants it to be. Don't He? So He says to Cain here, Cain showed it in his expression. Something happened. If it possible, would he have grabbed God by the hand and jerked Him down? God upset me so much if I couldn't pull Him down out of it. Well, you know you can't do that to God, but I can do it to my little brother. What was he upset with Abel about? Because he'd done something right. See, what a mindset. Brethren, please do it right for me. My brother Abel, please do it right for me. Because if God will accept you, He'll accept me. If you do it and show me the way, then I can do it that way and be accepted too. What a mindset. His countenance fell. And he got upset. And he could see it. He could see it in his countenance. He was angry. And something's got to happen there. And he's going to do whatever he can now. And he's going to start doing that. What we heard a testimony today of somebody that goes into a crowded theater and opens up with a gun. Why? We say sometimes that people have certain chances, and I know we see that. Some have better opportunities than others. But don't you know that we all have an opportunity?
Because the fact of it is, two brothers can sit under the same teaching, the same place, with their feet under the same table. One goes shoots a bunch of people in a theater, and the other gets saved and lives for God. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Because of something inside. Never dealt with, never looked at, never said, never willing to say, Lord, it's me. It's me. It's not my brother. It's not the church's fault. It isn't just society's fault. Lord, there's something about me. And I need your help to help me through it. Oh, Cain, what a disaster. His countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, you know, that's a place that'd be good to write down in your own life. And the Lord said to Marty, how many times do you say that in the Lord? Sister Marcia, watch the road. Keep a looking. Watch out. And the Lord said to me, Cain, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? We don't know ourselves very well. And what I want to suggest to us is that when you're wroth and your countenance falls, ask yourself why. Ask God why before He has to come and try to ask you. You know it. You feel it. You know about it. You know those things in your life. If you really want to serve the Lord and you want those good things in your life, be willing to say, Lord, my countenance just fails. Have you ever had it happen? Well, I'm going to be, I have. I do it on a regular basis. And my wife is my sounding board with the Lord. But my wife is the one, and she probably knows it anyway, but a lot of times I'll say, something happened and I ain't feeling right. Well, what happened? I don't know. But something happened and I ain't feeling right. And then I'll start saying, what, this, and this, and this. Oh, I had a conversation back here. It got me. That got me back there. It disturbed me. Lord, why am I disturbed by that? I don't know why. I don't know why. But I know I am. And that bothered me. And if I don't take care of it, when I see that person, I'm going to look cross-eyed at them. I don't want to look cross-eyed at them because it ain't their fault. Help me. Yes. Cain, why are you wroth and why has your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, I don't know about all this, but it sure sounds to me like that the Lord was trying to encourage this guy that there isn't any reason, none, for you to be where you're at. And there is no reason for you to be on the road going where you're going. Because the truth of it is that if you keep going the way you're going, the old saying is, you're going to get there. And this is what this was the Lord telling Cain. Cain, if you go the way you're going, you go long enough, you're going to get to where you're going. And I know where you're going. And I'm trying to tell you where you're going. And I'm trying to tell you what the opposite road is. If you do what's right, you're the one, Cain, that's going to have the upper hand. You're the firstborn. You're the one that's the chosen. You're going to be the one that the blessing's going to fall on the more. That's the chosen way for you, Cain. And he tried to tell Cain that. Cain, you don't have to do it this way. You don't have to try to use carnality and fleshly and do this through your and overcome Him. Love Him and you'll get above Him anyway. You were chosen. You know every one of us will get to what we was chosen to do. Do you know what? That's the best place for you to be. There is no better place to be than what God called you to be.
And you know, it just happens to be that God calls some people to be the firstborn. And some has to be the next one. And Cain was the firstborn. And God told him that. Cain, I proved it through Abel. I don't love Abel more than I do you. Here's a path for you. There's nobody that can stand up and say, I'm more spiritual because I'm something great. There's no spirituality in it. Anybody that even gets to any kind of a spiritual place recognizes their humility, understands their humility. There's nothing like that. It's a whole different concept. Cain, you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. You know, God's willing to deal with every one of us, I believe, the same way He did with them. Are you coming to this meeting with baggage? Well, it's good that you come. And bring your baggage too, because it's a great place to leave baggage.
Right.
Brother Ed was talking about some baggage down in the culvert down there. I imagine if the Lord would open our eyes that we could really see the piles of baggage that's been left here. The envies and the strifes and the wrath and the bad countenances and the habits and all the things over the years. There would be a gigantic pile of bad baggage around here. And you know God wants you to bring the baggage?
Yes.
And as the Lord deals with our heart, He wants us to get rid of the baggage.
Right.
And quit saying it's somebody else somewhere that does something.
Right.
Lord, I need help. I need help in my own life to get where You want me to be. And God's willing to do that for us. And the 8th verse says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Wonder what that conversation was like. I know what it should have been like. Cain should have said to Abel, sure am glad God gave you me, gave you to me to be my brother. I've enjoyed our growing up together. Had a good companion. Glad for it. Grown up to be men now. Abel, Lord, took your offering and didn't take mine. I'm the big brother here. I'm supposed to be the one leading the way. Somewhere along the lines, I come up short. What do you got that I don't? Would you help me? Go and pray for me. Go to the Lord for me. You got another offering? Can we take it together? Show me how to do it. I don't know how. You know what? That don't work that way most of the time. Don't know why it don't, but it don't. There's an old religious spirit that's in antiquity, and right here it is, and it started from the beginning. Religion. Somehow you was superior to me in some way, and I hate you for it. I hate you for getting the blessing that I didn't get. Didn't have to be this way. Didn't have to be this way at all. But they had a talk and said, Cain, talk with Abel. Well, it's supposed to be this way, the way the reading is. Abel, my brother, come out into the field. Come out into the desert. I want to talk to you a little bit. Come on out your past mom and dad's eyes. Let's go talk a little while. And he got him out there and he said, Abel, you rascal, you. What have you been doing? We made an offering. There is no justice. God's false to do what he done. He's wrong. There ensued a conversation that so stirred him up in his passion that he slew his brother. Now, I don't suppose there's many people in here ever probably took a stone to somebody's head. But you can do it anyway. You can do it inside you.
That's right.
With the feelings that you have towards them,
You could do it anyway. They achieve something. They get somewhere. They advantage something. They got somewhere that I didn't. Well, I'm just humble enough here today to say to the saints, y'all help me. Y'all help me out. If God answers your prayers, I'm going to be watching you. I want to know why. I'll be honest with you. I'll just open up and confess to you. As a minister, I watch the ministers very closely. When a minister gets up here and he preaches his heart, and then people start being moved and start coming to the altar, I take note of it every time. Because I'm envious? No. No. I want to know what touched the throne. I want to know what he done. I want to know what happened, what he was doing that was able to break down the devil, that was bound to break down the spirits, that was able to loosen people to get them to come. And I watch to see him do that because I want to know. I want to have it. I want to have it. I don't want to just do it for no reason. I don't want it just to be a show. I want it to work. I want it to work. Cain, it didn't work for you. You got it wrong. What did he advantage? Folks, look how wrong this is. What did it advantage? He lost his brother and the avenue that he had to understand. Go ahead and kill your brother. You've done lost your opportunity to know. You've lost your opportunity to understand. What does it take to make an offering acceptable to the Lord? Abel knew.
Yes.
Abel knew. And I just killed him. Make a relationship that you can't have with your brother and you'll lose something.
That's right.
You'll lose something when you don't have a relationship with your brother and he knows something that you don't know.
That's right.
He's got an experience that you don't understand. Not only that, it's not up for us to understand everything. Do you know we can so easily misunderstand?
That's right.
Oh, Abel must have done something to persuade God above. No, he didn't. He simply done it right. He simply loved the Lord, had faith in God, and humbled himself and gave an offering, and God accepted it. And he had accepted it of Cain, if Cain had done it right, and he didn't humble himself before the fact or after. Isn't that so common? Isn't that so common? And it says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it come to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now what I look at this end up is that when it gets to this point, it's really bad. When God has to come and say, Cain, I told you about a road that you was on. Has there not been hundreds of messages preached across this pulpit dealing with the subjects of men's lives? Haven't we, our ears heard them? Over and over. But yet God put within Cain's life the path of redemption, the way back. It was all set there for him to be able to get to. All that was necessary there was an honesty of heart,
yeah.
Humiliation of spirit,
yeah.
To be able to say, why do I want to kill my brother? Why do I want to kill a righteous man? Why do I want to do... Why? And I'll ask you, why did Cain kill Abel? Why did he kill him? What was down in there that made him kill his brother? Incrementally, he allowed life to get him to a place that those precious memories of childhood... And I know that that's speculation. Give me the liberty of knowing life. All young things play. Kittens, puppies, people. But to allow all those precious things to go, life happened. Life happened.
and a person gets to the places that they get, and we all are subject to it. You're subject to it. Oh, no, you may say I'm too spiritual for it. No, you're not either. You're not too spiritual for the events of your life to begin to shape you, and no matter how old you are, to be able to understand myself, I'm going to need the Lord to help me understand it. Why do I want to kill my brother? Because something in there wants to get rid of him. My only competitor? And then surely I'd be the one, God? No. What is it? Envy? Is there such an envious place in there? Why do I hate him? What has happened to me? Was it really about Abel? No. It was about Cain. Folks, let this meeting be about you. I'll let it be about me if you'll let it be about you. Just let it be about you. Because you can say of any great movements, it's only one person at a time. This whole camp meeting may be, there may be a crowd here, but there's really only one person. Many times over. There's only one that you can do anything about. Only one you can deal with. Oh, poor Cain. Because the Lord came to him and said, where is Abel, thy brother? You don't think God knew where Abel was at? God knew where Abel was at. But he put it to him to ask, answer the question. Cain, where's your brother? Where's your brother? You're going to have to answer it. There's going to be a time that you're all going to have to answer. I'm going to have to answer to all the questions. Why did you go to Monarch for 30 straight years, maybe a couple off for me? Why did you go there and never listen? Why did you go and never willing to look at yourself? Why do you have all these things in your heart and you never deal with them? Why did you not listen to what I said? And if I say, I wasn't able, Lord, the Lord's going to say, your brother sitting beside you did.
Yes.
Cain.
Right.
Cain.
Yes.
Abel did. And you're too near a kin. Now how much closer can you be in makeup? Don't go making excuses. There is none.
That's right.
There is none. What we'll have to answer. Where's your brother? Where is Abel?
So, I don't know. It's amazing to me the way people talk to the Lord. But he talks to the Lord. Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
Real pert, isn't it? What an answer to God. I don't know where he's at. I thought that was your job. You're the one that watches over people. I'll watch over people. Is that my duty? To be looking after Abel? Abel's your favorite anyway, isn't he? Isn't Abel your favorite? You're the one, you blessed his stuff, you didn't mind. I know this is all speculation, but possibly what's in there that's wroth and countenance fallen? God's wrong? Now, come on, folks. Come on. I've lived this thing long enough to know how the devil can work. And yes, you can have thoughts of God being wrong. But he ain't wrong. You are. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I ain't looking after my brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain, you did it, didn't you? I told you. I told you he was on a road. Let it be a warning today. Lord, help us. Folks, if you're on the road and you follow it long enough, you're going to get to where you're going.
That's right.
And it ain't a good place to go. Am I my brother's keeper?
And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Well, there you go.
That was the end of that little passage. But do you know that Abel is still testifying, according to Hebrews? Abel, in his day and time, all the way back the beginning of the spirit of worship, of devotion. First human. Of the first humans. All the way back in the beginning, there was one that was able to understand enough to make a sacrifice in the likeness and the understanding of what Christ would do for us to be acceptable to God. And his testimony is still being testified that he was righteous by faith. So I can say here this morning, beginning first service of Monarch 2012, ask yourself questions about yourself.
Yes.
Ask God to look into you.
Amen.
To find out what is in there. Because there is so many dispositions. You ever done that? You ever talk too much? You ever get into a place and talk too much, and then when you get through at the end of it and you try to go to sleep and you talk too much and you feel bad about yourself, and you ever ask yourself a question, Lord, why do I do that? Why do I feel the need of doing that? And then you look and think about what you said, and most of it was about running somebody down. Or maybe you don't do it. But if you do, you know, it's a good thing to say, why did I do that? What is it about me that just slew my brother? Why can't I lift him up? Lord, why can't I lift him up instead of putting him down? You ever done that? You ever get on the phone and go too much? You ever be a busybody, nosy about other people's business? You ever had any kind of thing like that? People do. Strange thing is they never see it. Well, it ain't really strange, but God knows. And if we really have that real desire and passion, Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, in this meeting, help me that when I go away, I'll be a little bit more like Christ than I've ever been before. Lord, bless us. I believe every sincere soul that desires it will go away here with it. You pray for me.